Welcome back. I'm Rose Aguilar, and this is Your Call.
Our grandparents knew a time when Burma was free. But for 50 years, the generals controlled us with guns. 50 years of greed, corruption, and violence. We will no longer be silenced by fear.
And that is the beginning of Into the Current, Burma's Political Prisoners, a new documentary. A military dictatorship seized control of Burma in 1962, and Burma's people have since resisted military rule. Nonviolent activists are imprisoned, tortured, and killed for supporting democracy. Thousands of political prisoners have been jailed in Burma, and Into the Current is their story. Over the past few decades, there have been several uprisings inside of Burma. In 1988, the military killed an estimated 3,000 unarmed demonstrators. In 2007, Buddhists, Muslims, and Christians took to the streets to demand an end to military rule. Many monks were beaten. You probably remember seeing these images on television. More than 2,000 demonstrators were arrested at that time. Activists who delivered documents to Aung San Suu Kyi's National League for Democracy have spent 17 years in prison. Some activists are sentenced to 65 years, and those who are arrested are tortured and beaten, and yet they carry on saying, quote, "We have no guns, only the power of truth." On today's Your Call, we are talking about the struggle for democracy in Burma. Aung San Suu Kyi, the leader of the National League for Democracy Party, recently gave her first campaign speech saying reforms have yet to deliver democratic gains. Elections are scheduled for April 1st. And the United States, and a special envoy, is in Burma talking about refugees. And we'll talk about that on today's show. Today, we are joined by Bu Ji. He is with the Assistance Association for Political Prisoners. The child of a soldier, he eventually realized that the generals turned against the people, and he became an activist. He served a total of 7 years in prison, once for calling for the release of students in prison, and the second time he was asked to be an informant for the military, but he turned them down. Bu Ji works tirelessly to secure the release of Burmese people who've been jailed for their political independence and activism. 1,920 people remain in prison in Burma, where they endure abysmal treatment by the ruling military junta for opposing its horrific abuses. And Bu Ji is in the United States on a speaking tour, and we're so glad to have him in studio. Hi, Bu Ji. Welcome to the show.
Yeah. Thank you very much for welcoming and giving me the chance to speak or to share.
Well, thank you for speaking. Yeah. We're also joined by Jean Marie Halasi. She's a filmmaker and activist. She's director of the film Into the Current, Burma's Political Prisoners. The film is showing tonight at the San Francisco Film Collective at 6 o'clock, 134A Golden Gate in San Francisco. And the event is co-sponsored by Amnesty International. And Jean also joins us in studio. Hi, Jean. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you for having us.
We're also joined by Cherry Zuha. She's an ethnic Chin women's rights activist, and she joins us from Thailand. Hi, Cherry. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's great to have you, and your line sounds great. So, you know, we did so many shows around the 2007, what they called the Saffron Revolution, and we haven't really heard much about Burma since then, here and there, but it doesn't really get that much attention in the U.S. Now, Aung San Suu Kyi has been in the headlines because she just gave her first campaign speech, and the special envoy is in Burma. So it's getting more headlines. But why don't you all just sort of give us an update? What has really been happening in the over the past 5 years in Burma? Bu Ji, why don't we start off with you?
We can see, ladies, some political development in Burma, but lately those political development doesn't benefit for the general people, because like the change is not a real reform in Burma. So therefore we need to fight for the real reform. So for the time being, like there is a civil war in Burma. Burmese government, it's true, attack to the ethnic Kachin state and also Karen and also SSA Shan state. So it's mean like the civil war means a lot of human rights violations. women are raped by Burmese soldiers. Also, villagers were arrested. Another suspect of supporting to the ethnic forces. So sometimes villagers were tortured to death at the military base. So we cannot count on those people's life, and we cannot prevent those people's life. So those are the ground situation. Its main ground situation doesn't deplot. Also, there is no sign of rule of law in Burma. Those are the real problem for the development and peace in Burma.
And Cherry, you're in Thailand. What do you want Americans to know about what's currently happening in Burma?
Right. In Burma at the moment, everybody thinks that it's a very exciting moment. And it seems very exciting on the surface. But in reality, remember, Burma has more than 300,000 soldiers. And these soldiers are deployed in all different areas of ethnic states. And these soldiers behave as the way they behave during the military dictatorship over the past five decades. So nothing has changed on the ground in terms of military behaviors. And as Kubuji said, a lot of human rights violations still happen in ethnic areas, including forced labor, sexual violence against ethnic women, and also another forms of torture and killing. So these are the reality in so many of the ethnic areas. So there is no illusions that we should not have these illusions that change happen in Burma, because we still have military persons or soldiers everywhere in Burma, first of all.
Well, and Cherry, because Aung San Suu Kyi is in the media, her speech is being repeated over and over again, and that gives people the impression that because she is now free to move around and because elections are scheduled for April 1st, it gives people the impression that things are better in Burma. How would you respond to that?
Yeah, exactly. This is the way to get attention from the international community, and also the attention from the Burmese community inside Burma, that everything is fine. We released Aung San Suu Kyi. That's what you wanted. It doesn't mean that the Burmese regime or the Burmese government is willing to change their behaviors or their power. They just use Aung San Suu Kyi, Aung San Suu Kyi, and her release and her campaigns as a tool to get the attention away. So it's very encouraging to see her, visiting constituencies where she wants to contest, and her party's candidates are going to contest. It's very encouraging to see that. But we really need to look into the situations and the game of this military regime.
And Jean, what would you add to that? Give us your sort of overview of the political situation in Burma.
One could say that there are actually two Burmas, if you like, and most of the international community has glimpsed into one of those two Burmas. When I say that, I mean that now that there has been the release of the Nobel laureate Aung San Suu Kyi, who's globally known, and there was the release of many prominent political prisoners in January, it did give the impression that things were going to change and there was a positive movement forward. While that's true, it's premature to think that alone is a benchmark for change in Burma. We have to understand that this is a country that has been under absolute military control for 50 years. Mm-hmm. The Burmese government has been infamous in its human rights record in the United Nations as well as the international community. That has resulted in one of the largest mass exodus of refugees, migrants, and internally displaced persons in the world, resulting in literally millions of people who have had to flee. In these two Burmas, what I mean is, right now we have a team underneath the United States government. The U.S. Special Envoy is there to assess the situation on the ground, including how many political prisoners actually remain, what kind of dialogue is going to be needed that would engage this quasi-civilian government with the opposition and the ethnic groups to really work towards democratic change, and importantly, how to access humanitarian aid to these ethnic areas. This is the second Burma that I'm talking about. If a traveler goes to Burma today, most of the country is off limits to you as a tourist. This is what the military deems to be, quote, black areas. They're black areas because they're conflict areas. So for most people in Burma right now, their reality hasn't yet changed. These are in the ethnic areas where these grievous human rights abuses are happening as we speak. There are tens of thousands of refugees who have fled since Aung San Suu Kyi's release in Kachin State.
And according to your film, 500,000 refugees are displaced inside Burma. And Cherry, most are ethnic minorities. Can you talk about that and how ethnic minorities like yourself have been affected by the military?
Right. If we looked at Burma, the ethnic people are sitting on the very rich natural resources area. And the Burmese military government need to control this area in order to control their natural resources, and they want to sell it to the companies, the corporates, and the other foreign governments in order to get their own money for their own wealth. It's like stealing the wealth from ethnic people, basically. So this is why they need it, or they are still oppressing the ethnic people. And as a consequence of that, the ethnic people are being attacked in their homes, in their communities, in their villages, and they had to flee to neighboring countries, including Thailand, India, and Bangladesh. And they're being displaced inside Burma as well. Millions of people, thousands of people are being displaced at the moment. And these people cannot go home because their homes, their communities, their villages are put landmines, and the military patrollings are heavily present there. So for ethnic people, there's not change. They cannot go to their communities back yet.
Let's talk about the political prisoners in Burma, because your film, Jean, was so incredible. You gave a voice to a lot of political prisoners and talked about the fact that, well, the narrator of the film was incredibly powerful, because she said, many people don't know about the darkness in Burma. If you speak the truth, you'll be arrested as an example to others. And I will play a clip from a political prisoner in a minute. But for example, one man served 12 years for distributing pamphlets against the military government. He's deaf in one ear from beatings. And then that's a light sentence, because so many prisoners have gotten a 65-year sentence.
The reason why Kobo-ji is on this tour now with the film, and why we believe it's very timely to release it, is not only to illustrate the amazing courage and resilience and kindness and love that these people embrace. It's remarkable to me as the filmmaker, which is what we wanted to convey, that after you've been tortured and held in solitary confinement, Min Konang, for 16 years, he's not bitter. He doesn't seek vengeance. He wants to reach out to find a peaceful, nonviolent solution. Mm-hmm. That's what the film is about. But why is it still relevant now? If I could just kindly update, there had been several thousand prisoners, Rose.
Yes.
But right now, Kobo-ji's group is putting the estimate at hundreds, as high as 800. And the point is not really the number. If there's one political prisoner left in prison, his work is not finished. And while it's wonderful that these prisoners were released in January, they were very well known. But it's important for people to know most of them had already served their sentences. Their sentences were complete. And those that were released were not released unconditionally. If they are deemed to be doing anything illegal, they can be rearrested to serve the remainder of their term. And these sentences were as high as 65 years. Among the hundreds that Kobo-ji is here to highlight is one such as this profile that I have brought with me of Kun Koryo. He's a young 27-year-old ethnic Karen man who was sentenced and is now serving prison with a lung disease due to water torture on his lungs. He was sentenced to 37 years for distributing CDs called The Power of Nonviolence.
Oh, wow.
And spray painting an X to boycott the elections. Mm. These are among the hundreds that we're here to highlight during his tour.
Bo-ji, what would you like to add to that?
Yeah,
what is the message you want to send about the people in prison? And you yourself served a total of 7 years in prison.
Yeah, I want them to know that, lady, we will never forget them. We are fighting for their release, because I believe that the release of all Romanian political prisoners is the first step for changing Burma into the democratic reform. Otherwise, we cannot say Burma is going to the right way.
Today we are speaking about the struggle for democracy in Burma. And Burma is now in the news because Aung San Suu Kyi just gave her first campaign speech saying reforms have yet to deliver democratic gains. Elections are scheduled for April 1st. Derek Mitchell, a U.S. special envoy, is in Yangon talking about the plight of thousands of people who've been displaced. And we'll talk about the United States' role in all of this later in the show. And we'd love to hear from you. Burma rarely makes headlines in this country. We did a number of shows during the Saffron Revolution in 2007. 2,000 people were imprisoned at that time. You probably remember seeing the monks take to the streets, and they were badly beaten in the streets. So what questions do you have about the struggle for democracy in Burma? What do you want to know about what's really going on the ground, the story behind the headline? And if you're from Burma, we'd love to hear from you. If you've got ties to Burma, we'd love to hear from you. The toll-free number is 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. You can also email feedback at yourcallradio.org, or better yet, leave a comment at yourcallradio.org. You don't need an account. You just need to put a name up there. It's yourcallradio.org. Today, we're joined by Boji. He's with the Assistance Association for Political Prisoners. The child of a soldier, he realized that the generals turned against the people and became an activist. He served a total of 7 years in prison. Jean Marie Hallisey is a filmmaker, director of Into the Current, Burma's Political Prisoners. It'll be shown tonight at the San Francisco Film Collective at 6 o'clock, 134A Golden Gate. And Cherry Zahao is an ethnic Chin women's rights activist, and she's joining us from Thailand. And I'd like to play a clip now. There were so many interviews, very powerful interviews, in Jean's film Into the Current. And this is just one clip with a political prisoner talking about his experience.
They covered my head, and then they beat me, and they dragged me to the punishment cell. They beat me, maybe 15 or 20 prison guards. So I couldn't see them. And they made me shout, "Hey, you have to shout. You are not human. You're a prisoner." At the time, I was brave, because I knew that I was innocent. All of my friends, 80th generation, were innocent. So we cannot do this. So I never shout. But I shout, "I'm human. You are inhuman. You're not human. You are just prison guards." Then they beat me, and finally I was fainted. I didn't know anything. Yeah. That's all.
And that's a Burmese political prisoner telling his story in the film Into the Current, Burma's Political Prisoners. His crime, delivering documents to Aung San Suu Kyi's National League for Democracy. And he spent 17 years in prison simply for delivering documents. Jean, so many stories like this. How did you find these prisoners, and what was it like for them to tell you their stories?
I met Koboji right when he fled from Burma to Thailand, where I've been based for many years, and I was struck immediately upon seeing that he had such an incredible passion that was not based upon anger, mm-hmm. but was based upon a vision of change, of what could really create sustainable change. And the only way to do that was nonviolence, at whatever price. We started a long friendship, and through the course of those years, he was sharing stories with me, and I was always moved by the fact that he and his colleagues never spoke about themselves or what they personally endured, yet they always tried to use the example of what others were enduring, and had also illustrated to me through some very moving stories they told about animals they adopted in prison. And Koboji's story about his adopted daughter, Booster, who was a pigeon, who came to him injured and unable to fly. He nursed her back to health, released her, and let her go, moved me. And I said, we have to tell these stories. And interestingly, Rose, having heard the interview we've just heard, what this military government has actually done is shaped very profound and very effective nonviolent leaders by imprisoning them. Not only have they not succeeded in crushing their determination, but I believe they've actually enhanced their humanity so that when they come out, That's the perspective that they're trying to share. And I believe that Aung San Suu Kyi is trying to share that now when she says, let's all take responsibility. Let's not just blame the military. We're in this together. And nonviolence and that path forward is what's going to change this.
So powerful. We've got a caller. Let's hear from Dominic in San Francisco. Hi, Dominic. Welcome to the show.
Hi there. So I just recently spent 2 weeks in Burma or Myanmar over the holidays. That was my first visit to the country. And we had a really wonderful experience in large part because we managed to find a driver and guide who was our private guide for the 2 weeks that we were there and took us around the country. And what was really fascinating, and this gentleman was in his early 60s, so he had been around for some time, and he told a harrowing story of his own life. But what was really fascinating is that he said to us that prior to just a few months before we arrived, he would never speak openly with Westerners about what was going on politically in the country. Whereas with us, he was quite open, and he attributed all of this to the changes that have been occurring. And so I guess my question is in a country like Myanmar, where I certainly agree one has to be very cautious in assessing the changes that are happening, but as they are happening as quickly as they seem to be, how do you actually assess in a country without a free press what is really true and what the true intentions are? So let me stop there with my question.
Well, thank you for calling in. Boji, what's your response?
Yeah, like Jenny mentioned, you can see two Burma. You know, one is like the inner capital. You know, we can see some release, you know, some media freedom. So also, Political Party can do their campaign. But in the meanwhile, Burmese government is trying to restrict those activities later by little. For example, Aung San Suu Kyi's speech was censored. Also, her group was attacked by Burmese Thugs group.
So Aung San Suu Kyi's speech was censored?
Yeah.
And her staff was attacked?
No, like the... she and her group
were
attacked
okay.
by the Burmese military regime target group. You know, other things, for example, another like the restrictions are little by little like the increase. Also, like Burmese government doesn't tolerance for the demonstration, especially peaceful demonstration. Last month, 16 people were arrested because they did a demonstration asking for the decreasing meat price. As a result of that, they were arrested and even though they were released under bail, they are still at the end, freezing under trial. Such kind of things are like still happening in the ground.
Well, and when we talk about the military junta, who's in control right now? Are the same people who were in control during the 2007 uprising in control today?
Yeah, that's true. They changed the uniform. But like nowadays, we can see they changed the institution. We got institutional changes, but they did not change their attitudes.
All right. Well, thank you again for that personal story and for calling in. And if you'd like to join us, the toll-free number is 866-798-8255. Today, we are talking about the struggle, ongoing struggle for democracy. We're talking 50 years here. According to the documentary Into the Current, it begins by saying, for 50 years, the generals controlled us with guns. We will no longer be silenced by fear. And this documentary, Into the Current, is showing tonight at the San Francisco Film Collective at 6 o'clock, 134 A Golden Gate. It's an incredible film. You'll meet so many political activists and political prisoners in this film. It's co-sponsored by Amnesty International. Aung San Suu Kyi is in the news today for making her first campaign speech. We're talking about what's really going on the ground. If you have any questions, if you're from Burma, if you have ties to Burma, 866-798-8255, feedback at yourcallradio.org. We'll be back after this.
You're listening to Your Call on KALW, San Francisco. Every week, 10,000 listeners all around the Bay Area tune in to KALW, but not at 91.7, but on our online streams at kalw.org. So if you travel outside the Bay Area, or if there are times when you encounter the limits of our signal, the online stream is a great way to stay connected. Just click on the Listen Live link at the top of KALW.org and you'll see all the options. And thank you for listening to and supporting your local public radio station, KALW San Francisco.
This is Your Call. I'm Rose Aguilar. You can find more information about our show at yourcallradio.org. You can also listen to past shows there and sign up for our newsletter to find out what's coming up. Tomorrow, it's our media roundtable, and we'll discuss media coverage of the massacre in Afghanistan. A U.S. Army staff sergeant allegedly killed 16 people in a village near Kandahar. So how are media covering this tragedy? How should they? Are they asking the right questions? We'll explore that tomorrow, and we'd love to hear from you. Where did you see the best coverage of Afghanistan? And also, what was your story of the week? And if you have a show idea or a guest idea, you can drop us a line. feedback@yourcallradio.org. Today, we are talking about the ongoing struggle for democracy and the basic right to use your voice in Burma. A military dictatorship seized control of Burma in 1962. Burma's people have since resisted military rule. Nearly half of Burma's national budget is spent on the military, while most Burmese live on an annual income of $200. Fewer than half of Burma's children achieve a fourth grade education. So we'd love to hear from you. What are your questions about what's going on the ground in Burma? The 2007 Saffron Revolution got a lot of media attention, and since then it's been rather quiet. But now that Aung San Suu Kyi is speaking out, she just gave her first campaign speech saying that real reforms have yet to come. She's getting a lot of media attention. Elections are scheduled for April 1st, and there's also a U.S. Special Envoy, Derek Mitchell, currently in Yangon. So if you've got any questions about what's happening in Burma, if you have questions for our guests, Buji is a former political prisoner. He's here in the U.S. He'll be speaking at the event tonight. Jean Marie Halasi is director of Into the Current, Burma's Political Prisoners, showing at 6 o'clock at the San Francisco Film Collective, 134A Golden Gate. And Cherry Zahao is an ethnic Chin women's rights activist joining us from Thailand. And the toll-free number is 866-798-8255. You can also leave a comment at yourcallradio.org. You just need to leave a name or email feedback@yourcallradio.org. And Cherry, how would you answer Dominic's question? I'm sure a lot of Americans go to Burma to see the beauty of the country, but they're not really sure what's going on behind the scenes. So what would you say to them?
I think when you go to Burma, it depends on how long do you stay there and where you go. For instance, Chin State, where I come from, is not allowed for tourists because there are religious persecution going on, restrictions going on. We have 55 military army camps around Chin State, which has over 1 million population. It's unnecessarily entirely controlled by the military army. So this areas are not allowed for tourists to visit. And the places where the military regimes do not send their troops are allowed for tourists to visit. So you can see some areas where you don't see a sign of military oppression at all. Or you can see the other side of the areas where there is a lot of oppression going on and human rights violations. So you will see a lot of different places. And a lot of the time, the tourists go to Burma for a short period of time, and they don't really get to know what is happening in the country. Mm. And that's one reason. And the other reason is we, the Burmese people, or the people from Burma, we culturally, we like to say positive things. We don't tell visitors about our problems straight away. We will not demonstrate that. And a lot of tourists get the wrong impression that Burma is fine. The people in Burma are very, very nice. They are smiling. But in their heart, they're not smiling. They're struggling so hard to survive. And they have a lot of political thinking and opinions, which they will not share one, in one night or one day. Mm-hmm. So it will take a lot of time to really get to know the local people, to really, you know, have a sense of the oppressions or human rights violations or political restrictions that they are facing. So the Tories really need to know what's really going on, and also really need to be aware where they're allowed to go. So at one spot and one visit, you cannot say Burma is fine.
And Cherry, in Jean's film Into the Current, she introduces us or takes us to Maesod, which is the border town across the river from Burma, a town of refugees. And the people who live there said it's a lifetime away. It's the base of the democracy movement. But even here, we are not safe. So what is it like for you to be in Thailand? Can you talk about the process involved in getting information from just across the river? I mean, it's amazing to think about all of you sitting in your rooms with computers and really trying to get the information out, and just a stone's throw away, people are being tortured in prison.
Right. A lot of the time, different organizations use different tactics. For instance, the organizations I used to work with, the human rights education organizations, we train people over the months and months. We train them about human rights education, social movement, nonviolent movement, community organizing skills, facilitation skills, and political analysis skills. We train them over a period of time, and they went back to Burma and they go to their communities. Some of them are working with the youth movement, some of them are working with the monks, some of them are working with the church, some of them are working as the teachers, or some of them even work as boatmen. And so we tackle into different sectors of the communities, and we our message is that the people need to know basic human rights, and they are born with this human rights. So once they know this, they have this human rights, then we believe they have, you know, a sort of a sense of empowerment to say what they want to say and to have their opinions against the regime or against the system that they are facing in a very local sense. So that kind of work we've been doing, and a lot of organizations are targeting different levels of people. Some of the organizations are targeting academic and media people. So we're doing, over the past 20 years, we are doing this secretly or confidentially, and in order to make this non-violent movement. So we can see that as now Burma become sort of change, or it seems to change, but actually this is an investment that has been done over the past 20 years for many organizations, like my organizations or Bugis organizations. We have invested our time and resources and energy for this. After we train people, they get the information and they send us out, and we tell the world what's happening.
Mm. Boji, are you able to go back to Burma?
It is really difficult to say. And then for the time being, I cannot go back because I do not know what kinds of crime I am committing as of the Burmese government. Because he called exile or people who are living in abroad can go back to Burma, but that is not in line with the law. Just only saying by the president, and also we are difficult to trust him also. Therefore, I do not think of to return to Burma for the time being.
And at this time, with the elections coming up on April 1st and Aung San Suu Kyi giving her campaign speech with this special envoy, Derek Mitchell, is in Yangon, talking about refugees, people who've been displaced by fighting. What are the strategies that you're focusing on right now? Because is it true that this seems like a moment where something could possibly change?
Now that you see Lady Derek Mitchell is talking about to help to the refugees in Burma, it means refugee means there are conflicts in Burma, not stopping the conflict. So we need to stop war in the first place. So if Burmese region really wants getting peace in Burma, they need to command their troops to stop and then retreat the little bit back. After that, lady, they need to talk with ethnic leaders. Those are the things, lady, they need to do first, before the election or after the election. So without doing such kind of things, it's impossible to get peace.
Mm.
Another thing is, lady, they must release all political prisoners. So those are the things they need to do now. Other important thing is they should allow people to set up human rights organizations to promote and to protect. Otherwise, lady, it is really difficult to do the underground way. But we are trying to extend our space, lady, inside Burma. You know, we know that, lady, the development of civil society is the power of the people. So therefore, Burmese region trying to squeeze the space for the rule of the civil society. Now, like the international community put pressure to the Burmese region to allow citizens to do human rights organization.
Well, that was the next question, is what role is the U.S. playing here? Why don't you talk about that, Gene? Because, again, U.S. Special Envoy Derek Mitchell is in Yangon. He says, quote, "We have seen progress in many ethnic minority areas over the last several months and weeks, but in the Kachin state, the violence is sticking out as inconsistent with a trend toward dialogue and confidence building and national reconciliation." So what is the U.S. role in all of this?
Under the Obama administration, the United States changed its tactics from previous administrations. The U.S. has had sanctions in place since the Clinton administration, which have been renewed every year. And Obama changed it to engage both sanctions as well as what he called engagement, to try to see what could be the incentives to usher this military government towards more openness and reform. So to that end, the United States is looking seriously into policy changes to work with the opposition movement, with Aung San Suu Kyi, as well as with this quasi-civilian government. That's why there's a team on the ground now to try to assess the situation and meet with all the key stakeholders. When Secretary of State Clinton went to visit Burma, this was an historic, unprecedented visit. There had not been someone of her stature there for half a century. And what she asked for then, which still has not been fulfilled, was unhindered access to all ethnic areas in Burma, every part of Burma. This is essential. So while we welcome this change, it's like that you've been, as if you've been in a very closed and dark room for half a century, and there's a crevice of light that's open. There is a window, and there is hope. And I know that the Burmese people have tremendous amount of spirit and courage and intention to make those changes, and Aung San Suu Kyi is a formidable leader. But what we're saying is those changes need to come through reform, through dialogue, and through actual substantial change that will look at the longest-running civil war in the world.
What's incredible in your film is you talk about Aung San Suu Kyi being under house arrest, and then she's released and gives a speech, and then she's under house arrest. It just happens over and over again. And now she's giving she gave her first campaign speech. And let's hear a clip. This is Aung San Suu Kyi in the film Into the Current.
Burma rules by fear. It lives by fear. The people are intimidated all the time. Threatened, frightened, subjected to all kinds of lawless conduct. The human mind has tremendous potential for good as well as for bad. And I think we've got to try to develop the potential for good. And in good, I include such things as strength and courage and principles and what we in Burma, we Buddhists call metta, loving kindness.
And that is Aung San Suu Kyi in the new documentary Into the Current, Burma's Political Prisoners. It's showing tonight at the San Francisco Film Collective at 6 o'clock, 134A Golden Gate. It's an event co-sponsored with Amnesty International. Jean Marie Halasi, the director of the film, will be there. Abuji, with the Assistance Association for Political Prisoners, a former political prisoner, will also be there. And I understand, Abuji, that there are some efforts by Amnesty International to bring you and to connect you with political prisoners from other countries like Iran, for example. What are your thoughts on that? And it's just what message and what kind of conversations do you have with other political prisoners about their struggles?
I have been meeting with political prisoners from different countries, like from Iran or other South Africa. Mostly, lately, I've been dealing with former political prisoners from South Africa. So we exchange our experiences. Also, experiences are not much different. Mm-hmm. So because like all the leadership, they use the same tactic. You know, they please political activists to be in prison, not to change their mind. So those are the main reasons for that. So therefore, they use like the torture methods. I believe that they cannot change the people's mind by torturing and placing in the solitary confinement. So we have a lot of examples. For example, is Minko Nai, who's been in solitary confinement for more than 20 years.
Solitary confinement.
Solitary confinement.
This reminded me, in the film, one of the prisoners was not allowed to talk to anyone for decades.
Yeah.
Minko Nai. He spoke to the ants on the ground.
That's true.
Yes. And he said the ants won't bite you, and they will listen to what you have to say.
No, he was released. After he was released, he continued his advocacy for changing Burma into a democratic one. Now he is doing to develop the civil society in Burma. That is lady incredible. Mm-hmm. I really respect him. He is, now many people expected him as a replacement of Aung San Suu Kyi in the future.
Wow. We have about 10 minutes left talking today about the struggle for democracy in Burma, and we'd love to hear from you if you've got any questions about what's happening on the ground, if you're from Burma, if you've been there, if you're just curious about Burma. 866-798-8255. Now that this is actually getting more headlines, and it'll probably be in the news for the next few weeks because the election is on April 1st and because Aung San Suu Kyi is giving her first campaign speech. What do you want to know about what's going on inside Burma? 866-798-8255. And if you have any questions about the United States' role there, you can leave a comment at yourcallradio.org or email feedback@yourcallradio.org. Let's hear from Simon in Fremont. Hi, Simon. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Yeah. I was born and raised in Burma, and I came to the United States for more than 20 years now. I just watching all these changes very closely and carefully. My question is, some of these changes are good changes, as far as I can see, but I'm listening and hearing most of you are saying that they are going backwards. They're not true changes. So my question: what do you think these changes, the intention of those general, what the changes are for? Are they, obviously they try to get rid of the sanction from the Western countries, and if they are not doing on the right path, then obviously, you know, Hillary Clinton and Obama will not give them release the sanction. So what do you think? What kind of intention are they doing? I mean, they don't have to give all these changes, right? But they do, you know. For example, Aung San Suu Kyi can speech on the TV freely, can campaign, not freely, but can campaign to all the area in the country, with some restriction, of course. So what do you think that is happening? What do you think that these generals let the people do that, let the Aung San Suu Kyi speech?
Well, it's a great question, Simon. Cherry, what about that? Talk about, obviously there have been some changes. Talk about those changes.
Yeah, I think there are several factors that make change happen in Burma, although those change are not the real change for the people of the Burma in their everyday life. Obviously, the leadership change within the regime, Tan Shui is now at the back of the leadership. So we can see different styles of leadership under U Thein Sein, the President Thein Sein. So we can see that there has been change under his leadership. Obviously, that's one factor. And, of course, sanctions do have some impacts on the changes. And, again, one of the changes is the pressure from within the country, the civil society groups, ordinary people saying that we have had enough. We don't want this anymore. They are so tired of this system. They are so tired of this regime. They're so tired of this military backup party like USDP. So the military regime knows about this. So I think that's one other factor. And also the other factor is the international community, the pressure from international community, and this pressure needs to be going on within, outside and out, inside, so that the real change will happen soon.
And what would you add to that, Jane?
Simon, first of all, thank you so much for calling in. Jizu Timbade. And I have often felt in these last few weeks that I've been sort of the unwelcome party guest in the celebration of something, which I absolutely applaud. And I think it's wonderful that these changes are taking place and we recognize these changes. What we're simply saying with this tour with Boji is that before sanctions are completely lifted, before there are massive amounts of aid, international development aid, released into the country, both by the United States as well as the European Union, there has to be some pillars there to ensure that there is transparency and that there are mechanisms to see that that aid is delivered responsibly and effectively. And that's certainly what Aung San Suu Kyi will be talking about if she does reach to Parliament. We're also saying that before all of the resources within Burma, which have been largely untapped, are developed by outside investors, that in order to have that development, you have to have peace. And in order to have peace, you have to have security. And for most people living in ethnic areas in Burma right now, that's still not yet the reality. We hope it will be through dialogue.
And Simon, are you still with us?
So my point is, do any of you think those changes are genuine or they are faking? To try to, show something to get the sanction lifted, and then they go back to the way they have all the control. Or they just want to change forever from now on. I know it's not there yet. There are a lot of things that, people are afraid of changes, and they're releasing a little bit at a time.
Right.
But from my eyes, from far away, I can see these are good changes. And like Jane said, I all welcome all these changes. But the moment, a lot of people are still suffering. I understand that.
Boji?
Hi, Simon. Lady, do you listen to Aung San Suu Kyi comment on the current political reform? So she also laid it off for the changes. And also, lady, she said without support from the army, it would be really difficult to make a reform. That is her recent comment. That is one thing. Another thing is, Burmese government is trying to implement their roadmap. Now, the last roadmap is to control the country with their 2008 sham constitution. What we are going to do is to change the constitution, because we believe that constitution doesn't guarantee for the safety of the people, and constitution doesn't guarantee for the peace and equality. So therefore, what we want to do, such kind of things. Maybe we know that changes cannot be within 1 year or 2 years. We have to do gradually. We understand for that.
And Cherry, you wanted to add to that?
Yeah, I think looking at the development or the changes on the surface in Burma, we can say there might be some people who wants to change. However, if we see what they have done to Aung San Suu Kyi and the censorships on her speech and the ethnic conflicts, we can see that there are so many radicals, extreme military persons within the military system who refuse to change. So there might be some people who want to change, and those at the moment, the international community, the media, and everyone is talking about the change the speeches done by President U Thein Sein. So it seems that there are some changes, but I doubt that there are so many radical people within the military systems who will refuse to change. Even if Aung San Suu Kyi win these elections, and even if she is in the parliament, there are still a long way to go to have real change in Burma, because these people will not change their attitude. And if we looked at the system of the military institution in Burma, it's all about power struggle. The second line people now, they are now waiting for a chance to get the power at the top. So we have not convinced these people yet. The U Thein Sein and his office, the president office, have not convinced these people yet.
And so Cherry, sorry to cut you off, but we're almost out of time. Do you see this as a ripe moment for people like yourself who are struggling for democracy in Burma, since this is now in the headlines again?
Sorry, can you say that again?
Do you see this as a ripe moment for real change in Burma, since Aung San Suu Kyi is in the headlines, there's a U.S. envoy there, the elections are on April 1st. Do you think something will come of this?
I think if we all act together, and if we put a lot more pressure on the regime, and also put a lot more political leverage on the oppositions, including Aung San Suu Kyi and other ethnic political leaders, and also call for the nationwide ceasefires, yes, we can make a change. But if we don't act together as people from Burma and also as international community, then this regime will use us again.
Jean.
Yeah, Rose, if I could just add a final thought, is that the whole point of our film is to share a vision of nonviolence. This film is an homage to the power of nonviolence, not only in Burma, but globally. And this is the theme that we wanted to share with any persons or countries that are facing what seem to be insurmountable odds. Nonviolence is sustainable change. It's a longer path, but it's a path that you can walk upon for many years, and it will last and it will be peaceful. That's what we want to share and inspire people with. And Burma has tremendous resources with its people.
And I'm going to put a poem on the website. We don't have time to read it at yourcallradio.org. It was written by Kyung Sang. He wrote poems when he was in prison. He honored Nelson Mandela by composing a song. And when the prison guards were away, he would shout the song, and that song spread around prisons across Burma. It's an amazing poem and an amazing part of your film. Jean Marie Hallisey is a filmmaker, director of Into the Current, showing tonight at 6 o'clock, 134 A Golden Gate at the San Francisco Film Collective. Boji is a former political prisoner who's in town. He'll be speaking tonight. And Cherry Zahao is an ethnic Chin women's rights activist joining us from Thailand. Thank you all for joining us.
Thank you so much, Rose.
And thanks for listening. Find more information at yourcallradio.org. I'm Rose Aguilar. Here's what's coming up tomorrow. On the next Your Call, it's our Friday Media Roundtable. This week, we'll discuss coverage of the massacre in Afghanistan. A U.S. Army staff sergeant allegedly killed 16 people in a village near Kandahar. How are the media covering this tragedy? How should they? We'll be joined by the Sydney Morning Herald's Paul McGough and independent journalist Anna Bodkin. Where did you see the best coverage of Afghanistan this week? And what was your story of the week? It's Your Call with me, Rose Aguilar, and you. Support for Your Call comes from the listeners of KALW. To listen to past shows or to sign up for our podcast or newsletter, visit yourcallradio.org. Malihe Raz is on and Ali Budner produced the show. Matt Martin is the executive producer. Pete Misick is our web editor. And Becca Hoekstra is our intern. Phil Hartman is our chief engineer. And Alan Farley is the studio engineer. Our theme music was composed and produced by Live Human. Your Call is produced by KALW in San Francisco. Special thanks to our partners at KUSP in Santa Cruz. You can email us at feedback@yourcallradio.org.